Father God, as your Son Jesus Christ revealed his risen self for the second time to his disciples that first Easter morning, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would reveal yourself to each and every one of us here this Easter morn. Amen. If you'd like to sit, please. Well, it's great to be back in church. And what a lovely display of the flowers from our flower ladies. Thank you ever so much, girls. Brilliant. Well, as I say, it's great to be back. And what a year it's been. Myself and Pauline have been self-isolating throughout this period because Pauline is classed as clinically vulnerable. There's been quite a few lows in our life and quite a few highs as well. The lows, the pandemic itself, too many to mention. Pauline hasn't been able to go shopping, so Marks and Spencer's shares have fallen, but she's done a lot online, I can assure you. We've had quite a few highs. We've had our first jab. We've become great grandparents for the first time at a baby beau, so that's been good. And one of our grandsons has bought a car. Now, he can't drive, but he's bought the car in the hopes that he will. He's booked, so I don't know what the law is on taking lessons, but he's going to book some lessons to have some driving lessons. And it reminds me of the joke about Easter when a father was teaching his son to drive. And out of nowhere, a rabbit appeared. Slamming on the brakes, the son said, "I nearly ruined Easter. I almost ran over the Easter bunny." His father replied, "It's okay, son. You missed it by a hair." Ah, no, it's a corny joke. It's a corny joke. Well, there's no Easter bunny in this morning's talk, but there is something not to be missed. The resurrection story. And what a story. It's almost unbelievable. And so today's gospel reading is entitled The Resurrection of Jesus. In some older manuscripts, Mark's account ends abruptly at verse 8 with no mention of Jesus rising from the dead. Don't ask me why. Enough to say that most Bibles today carry on from verse 8 with various endings, including descriptions of Jesus' resurrection appearances. But coming back to this morning's reading, what it does say is this, and I think the music that we heard at the start of the service was quite appropriate fanfare for the common man. For we should have a fanfare at this time, a roll of drums, you know, a fanfare of trumpets, perhaps even the music from EastEnders. Doom, doom, doom. Because it says, he has risen. And there in those three words, you have the message of Easter. He has risen. There in those three little words, you have our faith, Christianity. And there in those three little words, you have hope. Hope and freedom. He has risen. He is risen. There's an important distinction. He is still risen now. Has was 2,000 years ago. He is still risen now. Without those three little words, we're left with a man who without doubt was a good man. Yes, perhaps even a common man. A man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. But let's just face it, that those words are just those things, words abstract without any real meaning. The man, he's risen. Has he risen from his bed? Has he risen from his seat? Has he raised up the ladder of success? Is he raised there? But put those three little words into the context of the gospel, and those words become the most earth-shattering, groundbreaking, seismic words in the whole of the world's history. And that is, of course, the context they apply to, which is that common man being Jesus Christ, his life, death, and yes, his resurrection. A former Archbishop of Canterbury said this about the resurrection: the gospel without the resurrection is not merely a gospel without its final chapter, like in Mark. It's not a gospel at all. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and most important of all, his glorious resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Be excited. Be very excited. This is God's news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, will not perish. The resurrection is one of the hardest messages in the Bible to grasp, because it deals with our lives and our deaths. Jesus the man died on a cross that we might live and have eternal life. On Wednesday, I'll be taking a funeral here in church, and coming through those doors, walking before the coffin and the mourners, I'll be saying in a loud voice Jesus' words: I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. There we have it. Jesus' own words of the promise of eternal life. How that promise is interpreted, I leave that to you. The theologian Tom Wright describes it as life after life after death. Two stages. Try and think about that, work it out. Now, obtaining that promise is believing in him who made it, and that belief comes through the faith in our risen Lord and the gift of his Holy Spirit. And as Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, tells us, if Christ has not been raised, my preaching, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Without the resurrection, folks, we ain't got anything. As a young man, before I came to know Jesus, I used to do not a lot of drinking. I used to spill most of it. No, it's a joke. I used to go out with a mate every Thursday night. We used to go up to Farsley Celtic and we'd have a lock-in. This was on a Thursday night, I was working the next day. We'd stagger home at about 1 a.m. Pauline would be up with me supper. And we'd try and put the world to rights. My mantra was always the same. How many have we had? No, it was always the same. There must be more to life than this. There must be more to life than this. I discovered much later, when I discovered Jesus, that there is. But there are many today who do not recognize God. A school of thought that doesn't believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. And if that's the case, let's face it, a life without God is futile. Absolutely absurd. We live, we die. That's it. When you're dead, you're dead. That's it. No, it's not. It's far from it. It being God Almighty. It being the hope that knowing and believing in the life, death, and resurrection of our Saviour Jesus Christ brings. Shortly after his resurrection, Mark tells us that Jesus was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And there, folks, we have the absolute fulfillment of Jesus' resurrection, the meeting of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the coming together of heaven and earth, the common man, Jesus Christ, becoming divine. Here we have it on the screen. This is a clip from a famous fresco of Michelangelo's in the Sistine Chapel, which we've been privileged to see it firsthand, albeit from the ground floor. And there you have God's hands stretched out to the first man, Adam. Creation and the fulfillment of Jesus' resurrection. God's hand reaches out a second time in Jesus, the second Adam, reaching out to us all to give us the gift of eternal life and hope. Now, I don't know how many have managed to walk around the Easter Trail here in Carvely, but here we see the tomb. There it is. If you want to see it, folks, it's out there down to the left. And there were 18 of us there at 6:30 this morning. And as Robin alluded to, we witnessed such a beautiful sunrise on the east. There we have the earthly culmination of Jesus' walk to the cross. Now, if you look closely, you'll see a little mark in the middle of the stone. That's actually a hole. And I just wonder how many, when they've been down to look at that tableau, have secretly peeped through that hole. Perhaps even looking to see what's inside, like Mary Magdalene, looking for Jesus, hoping to catch a glimpse of him. Of course, as Christians, we know that he's not there, he is risen. We don't need to look for him. As Paul said, writing to the church in Galatia, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ lives in each of us, and through his death and resurrection, and the resurrection is a sign of hope. Whilst it was still dark, the stone is rolled away. And as it slowly moves, it would have revealed a deeper darkness, an emptiness. And perhaps in these testing times, that darkness and emptiness has visited many folk. Since the start of COVID, I've been keeping a record of my daily life. I think I'm on 400 plus days now. The highs and the lows. The lows, the daily death tolls. The lockdowns. Self-isolation. And yes, an emptiness inside. That emptiness was really palpable to me on Good Friday. I came down here to help lead a service with Robin and Sue, and I must admit I was struggling. My hands were trembling. And it was, I don't know, it was hard to describe. But what a better place to embrace that feeling than in here, in this church, at the foot of the cross on Friday, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I went home. Pauline knew how I felt when I came down, and I felt lifted up. I felt much, much better. And it was because of that companionship that I found down here. Words of encouragement. But weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. For us all this Easter morning. Let's just take a minute now and let's use our imagination. You may want to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And just allow your imaginations to peer into the darkness of that empty tomb. And think of perhaps the lows that you've experienced in this last year. Now, as you prepare to open your eyes, you start to see that the stone is slowly rolling away. And as you open your eyes fully, the light of Christ confronts you. Be encouraged. He has risen. He is risen. We are risen. The stone has been rolled away. Amen.